Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Pan Jingyi, who's signing in for Ryan Huang.
All right, time now to turn our attention to stories from around the region. It's the news that no one in Malaysia wanted, but we had the whole country except for Sarawak set to be placed under the third movement control order from Friday.
Yeah, tough stuff. This as six more states will be told to lock down until February 4th, following an increase in the number of coronavirus cases over there.
Yeah, so the country recorded 3,630 new cases yesterday, marking the sixth straight day of over 3,000 infections. The other big news from Malaysia this week, of course, Prime Minister Mahathir Yassin unveiling a $15 billion ringgit aid package to help frontliners and the economy during this movement control order.
But the question is it enough? Elsewhere, Indonesia is trying to recover from two natural disasters, the floods in South Kalimantan and the 6.2 magnitude earthquake in West Sulawesi.
And you also have investigators in Indonesia trying to retrieve the cockpit voice recorder of the crash Sriwijaya air jet.
Yeah, so how can the Indonesian government hasten the recovery in the country?
Yeah, let's try and get some analysis and more context on all of these stories. Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez is on the line. Leslie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Eric. Good morning, Manisha. How are you guys doing? I'm doing good.
Not too bad, not too bad. Hope you're doing okay. I mean, with the whole MCO, six more states being added on Friday. Okay, there are a couple of things, and I was hoping you could clarify this with me. When the initial movement control order was announced last week, in the days after that, I started hearing from my Malaysian friends that they were saying that this was going to go on all the way till March. And I say, wait a minute, that's not the case. Is there an issue of fake news going around Malaysia as well? I'm sorry to put you on the spot there.
Well, you know, what I can tell you is that things are looking pretty grim. Okay. You know, I bumped into a couple of frontliners from the Surai Buloh Hospital yesterday. And, you know, really, the ICUs are maxed up. The doctors are really worried. And I think we have not seen the numbers are set to spike even more.
Yeah.
So some believe that it could just breach 5,000 within weeks.
Gosh.
So we're not seeing the end of this. And I think perhaps new strategies are called for. I think the government needs to relook at this whole how they're handling the MCO since March last year.
Mm.
I don't think same measures are going to work, but we really are looking at some pretty grim numbers now. Very grim. I'm really concerned actually at the way things are going. So a lockdown beyond that will move into February wouldn't come as a surprise to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm just looking at the graph of Malaysian cases right now, and you can see that from mid-October or so, Leslie, it's been nothing but exponential growth. And in the last month, that curve is looking very, very steep. So new cases, 3,306 at the last count, and the seven-day average, 3,359. Definitely worrying figures. Against a backdrop of this MCO, of course, the Prime Minister, Mahathir Yassin, has announced this 15 billion ringgit aid package. But it's a fraction of the 250 billion ringgit stimulus package that was dished out under the first round, the first MCO. So why is this significantly smaller?
I think it actually spotlights the government's limited resources in dealing with this at this point. But, you know, they've come up with a whole lot of acronyms, new packages. You know, for most people, people are wondering, you know, how do you even reach this receive this targeted aid? Perhaps the government is better off just putting money in people's accounts. You know, at this point in time, I mean, really things aren't looking very, very, you know, aren't looking bright at all. And I think this package is not going to be sufficient. And the coming days, coming weeks are going to tell. And I think, you know, this emergency and this lockdown, people are going to be, you know, already there's a sense of frustration, and that is just going to mount in coming days.
Yeah, it doesn't help that, you know, every country has a different way of reacting, and then you probably have people in Malaysia looking at other countries. Hey, they put money directly in the unemployed's account. Why can't we do the same?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Leslie, remember when we first started this segment, one of the first topics we talked about was palm oil in the region. So you've got Malaysia and Indonesia. They've sent requests for proposals to hire an advocacy firm to run a campaign in Europe this year to counter criticism over palm oil in the region. You have the EU at the same time ramping up discussions on several legislations on deforestation, sustainable food systems, basically the whole European Green Deal. And that could restrict the use of palm oil in food and fuel. So back to this campaign, right? What kind of difference are we expecting it to make? And if it doesn't, that's going to be bad news for Malaysia and Indonesia's palm oil industry.
Certainly, it is going to be bad news. And I think this this move to call for request of proposals is actually proactive, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing that, you know, I think Malaysia and Indonesia need to get proactive on this front. And just staying silent, idle, is not going to work. You know, you've got to go out there and actually push the campaign on that some of these allegations against the industry are false.
Okay.
And they need to be there. They need to be there, present, and, you know, very much in everyone's faces, saying, look, this is not the way the industry is, and this is not the real situation. They need to do that. And this is positive.
Full-on PR campaign.
There's a lot of work to be done there. Speaking of a lot of work and a lot of pain and suffering, actually, over in Indonesia, President Joko Widodo has travelled to South Kalimantan this week to witness what he described as possibly the worst flooding in 50 years in the area. At least 15 people have died. Nearly 40,000 have been displaced. This all just days after 81 people were killed after the 6.2 magnitude quake in West Sulawesi. These are really tough times for Indonesia. How are they coping, particularly in terms of relief and recovery operations, in double disasters?
Well, you know, we only can hope that they're coping well enough, near good enough for their population, for their citizenry. And I don't think anything that can be done is going to be enough at this point. I mean, these are really serious disasters, the flooding and the earthquake. It's like a double-barrel blow, actually, you know, for the government. And to deal with this, I don't think any government can be, you know, prepared to deal with these kind of disasters, actually. So, you know, all we can hope for at this point is that they do the best they can for the citizenry, and, you know, really, you know, any help Indonesia can get, I'm sure, will be welcome from across the region at this point.
It's very different. In the past, you would have even countries like Singapore quickly responding, you know, like to earthquake disasters. We've seen Aceh and whatnot. But everyone's got their own problem in the sense with COVID-19. And then they have to try and recover this voice recorder from the cockpit of the Sriwijaya Air Jet. That's going to hamper recovery as well, right?
That's true. You know, so really, you know, you've got multiple fronts that the Widodo government has gone to.
Yeah.
And really wonder how they're really coping with this. I mean, this is really something you don't wish on anyone, right? And it is really trying, you know, watching it from afar and, you know, listening to this, it really is very, very depressing, actually.
And just finally, let's switch to Thailand. A court there in Bangkok has sentenced a former civil servant to a record prison term, 43 years and 6 months. This is all about those strict laws on insulting or defaming the monarch. This woman, what is she accused of, and how have Thais reacted to the news?
Well, this is another thing. She's accused of sharing audio clips on social media that were deemed critical of the Thai monarchy. And the sentence handed to her was more than 43 years in prison. I mean, that's, you know, and I think all it does is spotlights the government's position today on dealing with all of these, the protests, the challenges towards the government, and this Let's Be Just laws clearly designed. And I think the sentencing is designed to, you know, send a chill down the spines of people who are opposed to the government at this point. Whether this will work, I really am not sure. I think it's just going to embolden the protesters in Thailand to basically make a much more, you know, really defiant stance against the government. And this is not going to be good, you know, especially in a time where there are a huge number of other problems facing the country, you know, not just in Thailand, but elsewhere too.
We've been speaking with Leslie Lopez, Straits Times regional correspondent. Leslie, we hate that, you know, things are the way they are in Malaysia, but stay strong, stay safe, and we hope things improve soon, yeah?
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.